the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a heavenly product. Joy was born into your spirit when you were born again.
Joy is not something you have to find as a Christian. It's something you already have. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory and learn how joy is part of your spiritual makeup.
Now, open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 John. And let's read here in the fourth chapter. 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir, I'll do that. I want to read you a word here from the first chapter. You go ahead and look up that fourth chapter, 1 John, but I want you to see this. I want you to see how the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, started this book. He said, "For the life, was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One." Now, look at that fourth verse. "These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." Hallelujah. That your joy might be full. Praise God. Amen. Now, I don't like it up here. I got to get down here. Praise the Lord. Amen. That your joy might be full. And you remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a heavenly product. Joy was born into your spirit when you were born again. And far too many Christian people are sad, weary, down, out, burned out, burned up. Amen. When all the time there's something down on the inside of your spirit called the joy of the Lord. And joy is not dependent on your comfort. It's not dependent on the happiness of your flesh. It's not dependent on anything except love and the Word and the power of the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be filled with joy by faith. You can just start out just by saying, "The Word of God says I'm full of joy, and bless God, I'm going to be full of joy, whether you like it or not." You understand?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And you just keep moving like that, and here it'll come. Not only that, God will begin to reveal to you the force of His joy. Amen. And that little book right there says He wrote this so your joy could be full. Amen.
Amen.
I had to get it by faith. I didn't have any joy in me. I was mad at the whole world when I got saved. And I got saved, and then I was just mad at some of the world. But I was still upset. I was in the habit of being mad. I'd been mad since I was a little boy. My daddy used to say, "I wonder what in the world made that kid so mad." Well, I look back on it now and I can tell you, well, other than the devil himself, because he got into my life really, really young. But I didn't sleep And sleep deprivation causes all kinds of strange and weird and mental junk. And it causes you to look at the world, you know, sideways all the time. And I finally found the 127th Psalm that says he gives his beloved sleep, and it is vain to get up early in the morning, stay awake at night, feeding on the bread of sorrow. I had to learn to do that by faith. Sleep. I can sleep. Ooh. When I found out how wonderful it was to get a good night's sleep, I thought, where has this been? I should have been doing this all my life. Amen. It is a wonderful thing. I can just lay down and say, thank you very much, Father. I receive my sleep gift tonight. The Word says you never slumber. Ain't no use both of us being awake. Good night. And just roll over there and go back to sleep. Do what Jesse said. Roll all your care over on the Lord. And he'll say, thank you, Kenneth. I'll take care of it. And so, and when Jesus said, I'll take care of it, well, that means that fixed that, didn't it?
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Say it, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive my joy tonight.
It's in me now.
I stir it up. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Here we go. Let's look in this fourth chapter. Notice the seventh verse. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Read it out loud. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Oh my. That we might live through him. We're not supposed to be living by our own wits. I got so excited about the grace of God abounding towards us. Did you earn your salvation?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Did you earn the infilling of the Holy Ghost?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Did you earn your healing?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Whatever made you think he's going to have to earn your money? How are you supposed to get it? By grace. It didn't say you quit working.
That's right.
No.
Come on.
Lazy bones.
Yeah, tell
them. No. He didn't say anything about quit working. He said, he that stole, let him steal no more. But let him work with his hands that which is good, in order that he may have to give to him that needs. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're supposed to be living through him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whoa. I can't wait till we get over here in this part. Praise God. Yeah, I can, because we got to get there one step at a time. Now then, say it again. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. He that loves is born of love. No, Brother Copeland said he's born of God. I know that's what I said. He's born of love. Born of love. All right, are you with me here now? All right, now notice this. In the fourth chapter here, in the 15th verse, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of
love.
the Son of love. For love so loved the world that he gave the Son of love so that anybody that will believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He so loved the world. He so loved that he gave the best he had. Now, go back here and look at that 15th verse again. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love, love dwells in him and he in love. Now, in order to make this as clear as we possibly can so that we can lock into it not only with our hearts, with our spirit, but we can lock into it with our minds because we are going for a mind renewal tonight.
Yeah.
The renewing of your mind will cause you to be able to approve the perfect will of God in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will transform you. So we're going for a mind renewing tonight. In this area of joy and in the area of God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. Amen. All right, now stay with me. To clear this up for us, let's look at this like this, and we'll use this phraseology as we go through the Word tonight in the search of this. Let's look again in that 15th verse. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of the love of God. Now that really, I don't know, in my thinking, that just really grabs hold of my mind. The love of God dwells in him, and he in the love of God. And we have known and believed the love that the love of God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in the love of God dwelleth in God who is love. Is it helping you?
Yes.
Okay. Stay with me now. Herein is the love of God perfected in us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in the love of God, so are we in the love of God, and the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Now that's enough shout about right there. Ah, but we ain't there yet. We're working on something. Now stay with me now. Praise. We're going somewhere here. Amen. Excuse me. Now then, in the 18th verse, there is no fear in God. Well, now, ain't that big news? Of course not. No fear in God. There is no fear in the love of God. Well, even that, I mean, that's that's just not anything new. We knew that all along. There is no fear in the love of God, and perfected, developed, growing, active love of God casts out fear. It does not manage it. It does not cover it over. It casts it out. Why? Fear has torment. What is the torment that comes from fear? torment is when you read something in the Word or when you hear someone testify, I got my healing last night, glory to God. I tell you, Jesus is so wonderful. And you're standing there with that goofy looking smile on your face saying, oh yes, amen, hallelujah. I'm so thrilled for you. And on the inside you're thinking, wonder why in the world God healed that skunk and He won't heal me. He won't heal you? No, He won't heal me. I have talked and I begged, I prayed till I'm blue in the face, and He just won't heal me. That's torment.
That's right.
I tell you, that's torment.
That's right.
And it comes from fear's influence over your mind, and fear is there. And perfected love will cast it out.
That's right.
Fear can be managed. Fear can in management can be pushed to a higher level so that you don't freeze up in fear as quick as you used to, but it's still there. Only the love of God will get it rid of it and cast it out. You can't get it out any other way. And you do that through repentance, and that's the reason the book of 1 John started out in the first chapter to tell you how to repent by faith. That Jesus is faithful and He is just to forgive us our violation of the commandment of love when we confess it. Not only forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Fear is unrighteous.
That's right.
Fear don't belong in the life of a believer.
Right.
And if you will repent and do it by faith, well, I sure hope I feel better. You ain't even close. That's not faith, that's feeling.
Yeah.
Well, I sure hope so. Well, that's not faith, that's hope. Well, I just know one of these days He's going to heal me. Well, that's hope too. That's not faith. Faith says, well, the Word said it, I believe it, and it doesn't make any difference how I feel about it. He's faithful and He's just. And say He's faithful and just to change your feelings. Said He's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and forgive you.
Amen.
And just roll on over and go back to sleep. And if you wake up with fear around you, get up and get the book said, he that fears is not perfected in love. Now, if I have violated that commandment of love, in the name of Jesus, I repent of it. You reveal it to me. If necessary, I'll go make it right. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not having the spirit of fear in my life. You're not stealing my joy. No, sir. No, ma'am. I will not. If I have to come to your house, praise God, and repent, if that's what it takes, then do it. Make it right. You get it fixed. But the big thing is go before Jesus and confess it as a sin, not your problem. It's a problem, all right, but it is not excusable. You may think you had a good reason to violate the commandment of love. There's no such thing. Even if it was a good reason, you don't have any excuse. It is a commandment. You understand commandment? That is a direct order from the Lord of heaven and earth. The commander in chief of the body of Christ has given us personal orders and general orders. To believe on the name of His Son Jesus and obey the commandment as He gave commandment, which is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself in that order. You don't go off and try to love your neighbor as yourself. You start off loving God with all your heart. Well, I just don't feel like I love God. He didn't say anything about your feelings. Who said anything about you? There's nothing in there about your feelings. At all. We're talking about your heart condition. Amen. And when you begin to say, my Heavenly Father, oh, your Word says, if I do those things that are pleasing in your sight, whatever I ask, I receive from you. Well, what's pleasing in here in His sight? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor.
Amen.
Amen.
So you start off, I love my Lord. I'm commanded to. I say it by faith. feelings will come and go. I don't have anything to do with it. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. In the name of Jesus, I release my faith. Jesus said, on that commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself, hangs all the law and the prophets. I love my neighbor as myself because that's pleasing to your sight. And I begin to confess it and get it up in front of my memory and work on it and stay with it and stay with it and practice it and practice it and work at it. And when you miss, repent. Repent right now. Repent. Make a move. Make a move. Repent. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I don't need to be talking like that to anybody. Forgive me. Yeah, but you don't understand how that old ugly thing talked to me. Well, that old ugly thing doesn't have anything to do with your salvation.
That's right.
One way or the other. Oh, yeah, but Brother Copeland, that old bigot, you ought to heard that old bigot. Huh? What old bigot? That one that talked ugly to me. When? 1939? Dear God, man. You talk like it is yesterday.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, that fear has been tormenting your life ever since that happened, and it is still working in your life, and the bigot's already died and gone to hell, and it's still working in you. Yeah, but he said I was a stupid so-and-so. Well, are you? No, I'm not. Well, quit believing what he said.
Amen. Amen.
Get out of it. Repent over the thing and get out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Now what happens then? Perfected, working, developing love, casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not developed in love. Now you got the answer right there. Keep working on it. Keep working. You got the principle. So now practice it, and 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 practice it. It'll develop. It'll work. The more you release it by faith, the bigger you get on the inside. You cannot say with your mouth, I love the Lord my God, without your born-again spirit rising up and getting bigger on the inside. It can't be done. Amen. It will rise up every time you say that. And the first thing you know, you'll be just driving down the road saying, Lord, I tell you, I love you so much sometimes it just overflows in me. I just love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. And you're driving along there, that big smile on your face, and all of a sudden you hear the word of the Lord. Maybe for the first time in your life, you knew what it was. And all he said was, I love you too.
Oh,
ah! God talks to me. He's been talking all the time. You've been so spiritually dense you couldn't hear it. Why? Because fear had its fingers in your spiritual ears. Amen. That's what happens.
For four decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no. The faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When his word comes out of your mouth, he is obligated by his calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you say.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland, the daughter of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. You know, Jesus is coming back very soon. It is obvious that we are living in the last days with the wars and terrorism, catastrophes happening throughout the world. We can't deny that Jesus' return is very close. You know, I have a question for you today. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? You've been running from God long enough. So stop making excuses. It's so easy to ask Him into your heart, and your life will change. He's been trying to get your attention for a long time. So give Him your life today. It will make a difference. Please pray with me as I pray this prayer. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe that He rose again and that He can come into my heart and change my life. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed with me, then you're what we call born again. It's like being born all over again. You get to start all over again with God now leading you. And when you leave this life, heaven will be your home. But that's not all. That leading that God can do, He will leave you and lead you into healing. He will lead you into the blessing, into prosperity, into your family coming back together. He can make things right for you. We want to tell you about those things, so we have this free salvation package for you. It's 5 books and a brochure. Just let us know you asked Jesus into your heart, and we will get it right out to you. You know, you still have time to make plans to join us for the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. That's November the 8th through the 10th at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. This is a great meeting. You want to be there. Always, it seems like an important prophecy, a word from the Lord, an encouragement always comes from that meeting. If you can't be with us in person, then join us live on the internet at kcm.org. You can go there for more information about it. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.